When you created us, you breathed your very essence into our bodies. You specially created us, Father, to worship you. So now, Father, we surrender. We surrender all that we are, all that we have been, all that we ever be, Father. We surrender to you now in total praise, in total worship, Father. Thank you, Lord. And as I speak now, I think of the words to the song, Total Praise. Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills. Hallelujah. Knowing that my help comes from you. Your peace you give me in times of the storm. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. Lord, I lift my hands in total praise to you. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you wish. Thank you, praise and worship team. Thank you, Jay, for leading this morning. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. I am honored this morning to be your speaker. Joe and Renee are on their way, if they aren't there already, to Delaware. They're going to spend Thanksgiving there. So I get to be your honored speaker this morning. Thank you. So before I get started, I'd like to go ahead and just look at your bulletins. We have several birthdays this month. And also in the announcements, our Neighborhood Food Network is in need of some items. We are in need of the following items for our pantry. Please drop off. There's a container out in the foyer. Talk to Cherie, who's right here. And we are needing specifically protein foods, such as canned chicken or tuna, canned beef stew, peanut butter. And also, if you have any plastic or recyclable grocery bags that you have lying around that you're not using, we could use those as well. So if you can donate any of those items, there's a drop-off container out here out in the foyer. So please feel free to do so. Next, or this coming Wednesday, we will have no Ecclesia Congress or youth that night, because it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so we will not have any service on this coming Wednesday night, okay? And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Amen. As I was praying about what to talk about this morning, what really came to mind is something that a colleague and I have been talking about for the past month or so. And what I'm going to title, what I'm going to talk about this morning is limitless faith. Limitless faith. And I am coming from Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. So if you can please turn to Matthew 17 verse 20. And I'm coming from the New American Standard. And to set some background for where the scripture is coming from, the disciples had just tried to cast a demon out of someone and were unable to do so. And so they had approached Jesus and was wondering, okay, well, how come we couldn't do this? You know, we've seen you do it. We've seen you perform this. How come we couldn't do it? So in Matthew 17, 20, Jesus answered them and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So, like I said, there's a colleague and I that for the past month, he's been talking about this specific thing. And as I was thinking about what to speak about this morning, the Lord said, okay, I think really we need to take this further and speak on this. Okay, the thing that I want to focus on is faith the size of a mustard seed. Okay. So my question is, if it takes more faith for these men, these apostles, when Jesus walked up to them and said, okay, drop everything and follow me, that faith that they exhibited in him in order to follow him, not knowing who he was, seems like that would be greater than the size of a mustard seed. The faith that we have to believe in God's word, all 66 books of the Bible, seeing the people who wrote it, but believing that is the inspired word of God spoken to them, it seems like it would take a bit bigger faith than a mustard seed. The faith that we have in believing that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary without conceiving from man, bearing him, he was born, walked this earth sinless, gave his life to die, went through terrible turmoil, torture, beatings, died, rose again, was seen among many, and rose up to heaven and sits now alive at the right hand of God. It takes more faith than the size of a mustard seed to believe that. Our very salvation requires a greater faith, a large faith than the size of the mustard seed. So if that's the case, what was Jesus talking about here? And it may not be the size of the mustard seed. It may be the characteristic of what comes from a mustard seed that size. Okay? And I'm going to stretch your mind a little bit here. We have several different scriptures that where Jesus talks about sowing the seeds of a mustard seed on different ground. And he says that it grows into something larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. The birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So the mustard tree, okay, if anyone has ever really went in and researched it, a mustard tree from the tiny little seed that you see, okay, a mustard tree reaches a height of 20 feet and can be as wide as it is tall, with low branches being very close to the ground. And those branches are there because it helps to shield the animals and give them protection. Not only that, but the leaves are full of moisture. They contain large amounts of water, which means camels and other animals feed on those leaves to sustain them. Number two, mustard trees cannot grow well in humid climates where the tree may become stunted and have problems with mold. So then that gets me to thinking, okay, so Lord, where is my faith planted? Where is my faith planted? Is it planted in places where it's not going to sustain? Is it planted in places where it's going to become stunted and it's going to become molded and it's going to become stagnant and it's not going to grow to where it needs to be to sustain myself, to sustain others around me? Where is my faith planted? Your faith is best when exercised and not left to the point of being stunted and having problems of becoming toxic. How does your faith become toxic? It becomes toxic when you don't place it in the right place. Your faith becomes toxic when you place it anywhere else except God. Thirdly, toothbrushes are made from the branches in rural communities because they contain properties that resist bacteria and plaque. So the branches of the mustard tree are used as toothbrushes because of the properties in those branches. It contains properties that resist bacteria and plaque. So what happens is when we place our trust in the right place, guess what? We're resistant to anything that the enemy throws at us. We're resistant to anything devious he throws at us. We're resistant to illness. We're resistant to sickness. We're resistant to mental illness. We're resistant to sorrow. We're resistant to depression. We're resistant to anything that the enemy can throw in our path because our faith is rooted in the right place. Your faith will resist the attempts of the enemy to sabotage and sabotage your decrees, your declarations, and your prophetic words that he has given you to give. I've said before a long time ago that when you know, something to notice is when you look at your faith, you look at the armor that God has given you. Everything else that God has given you is pretty much on your body, is set on your body, and is attached to your body to protect you. Your faith is your shield. Your shield, you can maneuver. Your shield, you can shield yourself from wherever direction you need to protect what's coming at you. Now, the thing that I think most people don't understand is sometimes we get stuck in this mustard seed faith. When we start thinking about, okay, if I have the faith of a mustard seed, you limit the size of your faith. Because now you begin to think, okay, if I can have faith this small, then I can do anything. And you limit yourself to faith that small. And that's not what God is wanting us to do. When we are born again, when he gives us salvation, we are given a measure of faith. And like I said before, that measure of faith is great because we believe the impossible. At the point of our salvation, we believe the impossible. We believe in someone we've never seen. We believe that he walked the earth and created miracles. He did miracles. We believe all of this without having seen it, without having been around. So therefore, our faith must grow. We are given that measure of faith at the time of salvation, but we must act upon that faith and grow that faith so that it grows into something larger. And it can withstand and it can sustain us to whatever the Lord has coming or what the enemy has coming toward us. The faith we have to believe in the word of God and everything about Jesus is bigger. And like I said this before, it's bigger than a mustard seed. So in essence, what Jesus was telling his disciples is, okay, you've been with me. You've seen me in a boat when you thought you were dying and you woke me up in the boat because you were scared that you were going to die. And I stood up and said, peace be still. You saw me when I did this. You saw me feed the 10,000. You saw me feed the 5,000. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me lay hands on the sick and they are recovered. You've seen blind eyes open. You've seen dead people raised. Where is your faith? Why is it not growing? Why is it not growing? If you would look at the characteristic of that mustard seed and what that mustard seed produces from its size, what it turns into, then you should be able to do this. He's looking at the characteristic of the mustard seed and what's coming from that mustard seed. Your faith can survive under the harshest of conditions, even though it's challenged, if your faith has grown. Mustard trees have been known to grow in the upper elevations or the sides of Mount Hermon in Israel. It's really known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Therefore, it means that when the seed began to root, it had to break through rocky soil. If it's able to grow on that mountain, it means that those roots had to grow through rocky soil. And when it began to grow through rocky soil and it began to root and begin to spread, guess what? That means that the environment had to change. When those roots began to take place, the environment had to shift. The rock that was there had to give way to those roots. So when your faith is firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Word, in His promises, guess what? Your environment has to shift. Whatever you're going through, your environment has to shift. It has to move. That mountain, no matter what it is, whether it's finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's relationship, whether it's health, whether it's something going on with your job, whether even if it's just something as small as your car having a problem, whatever that situation is, your faith, when it is taking on the characteristic of a mustard seed, has to shift and move that environment so that it can grow and so that it can flourish. Your faith is environment shifting. Your faith is environment shifting. So it has to shift to accommodate that, and nothing can stop it. Nothing at all can stop it. Now, something the Lord had shown me is, and I forgot to bring it, I meant to bring it. A long time ago, I was given a little bottle about this big, full of purple sand. And in that bottle of purple sand was a little mustard seed. And for the longest time, that was my mentality. I'd have that bottle sitting there. I'm like, okay, Lord, I can have faith that small. And it'll work. It'll work. I looked at that bottle yesterday, and the Lord began to talk to me. And He said, you know what? He said, that purple represents your identity, your royalty. Your royalty. Your priestly. And with that faith is rooted, or that seed is surrounded by your identity, and you know who you are, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. So now you have to look at your identity and say, okay, so Lord, who am I? What am I? And that's where we have to really sometimes dig and look into this and go back to His promises and go back to who the Lord says you are. Because it's very easy for us in times of trouble, in times of turmoil, in times of discomfort, in times of pain, it's very easy for us to lose sight of who we are. And it's very easy for our faith to falter. It's very easy to do that. So when we go back and we really grasp on to who we are, the Lord has given us all authority. He has all authority, so therefore we have all authority. So that means whatever we speak, He is within us. Whatever we speak, it's just like God speaking. So whatever we speak out, we have that authority. I love acronyms, so the one I had for faith is, for the letters of faith, is finding an impossible thing happening. Faith is finding an impossible thing happening. So, if our faith is surrounded by our identity, it's pretty safe to say that as we figure out our identity and we become more and more familiar with our identity and embrace our identity, that our faith becomes stronger so that it's unshakable. They've also found that different parts of the mustard plant are even more important and helpful as far as health goes. Anybody in here familiar with mustard greens? Okay. Mustard greens are heart and brain healthy. A diet discovered by a Rush University researcher indicated greens, including mustard greens, to be part of a diet that reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease by more than 50%. The diet was published in 2015 and is called the MIND diet, as it reduces risk of cognitive impairment in older people and risk of dementia. Mustard greens contain vitamin K, A, C, E, B, minerals, and flavonoids, which are antioxidants, which are anti-inflammatory, and it helps to benefit your immune system. So, in speaking, when we have faith like that, guess what? We're exhibiting the same things. We can lay hands on people, and guess what? The same thing happens. The same thing happens. The one big thing that can really, really, really be detrimental to our faith is fear. Now, the people that were in Neighborhood Network, that's Cherie and my husband Bill and Lori, you can't answer this. Okay, because a couple of weeks ago I kind of spoke in one of our meetings, and we talked about Job, and we talked about what he went through. And there was something that kind of opened Job up for his testing. What was that? It was fear. Because when you go in the book of Job, as soon as this stuff started happening, one of the first things out of his mouth was, "The very thing that I feared has happened to me." So that kind of opened him up for that testing. And the whole thing about testing is, even though we have faith in knowing that we've done the studies, we know what we need to do, we have a fear whenever a test comes around, and that fear is fear of failure. And we begin to focus on passing that test so much that we stress ourselves out and we worry and we get in the middle of the test, and then we completely just forget everything that we've absorbed. Everything that we've learned, everything that we've experienced, had hands-on experience with, we lose it. And the reason why we lose it is because we begin to focus on the test and not on what has been planted within us. And that's where our faith sometimes falters there too, is we need to really just embrace what the Lord has told us. We need to embrace what he said in his word. We need to embrace his promises. When he says that he's with us and he'll never forsake us, we need to embrace that. When he says that he will bring us through everything, and that with every trial or with every tribulation, that he will make a way of escape, and not only make a way of escape, but a way that we could bear it. We need to be able to just really hold on to that and embrace that. When he says that there's nothing impossible with God, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with him. We need to embrace that. when he says that we are his children and he's our protector, he's our supplier, he's our provider, he's our healer, he's our attorney, he's our doctor, he's our mother and father sometimes, he's our family when we don't have any family, we need to embrace that. We have to embrace the very things that God has given us as our identity and refuse to accept any other identity that anyone places on us or any other identity that the enemy may seek to place on us based on our past, based on what has happened to us in our past. At the cross, that identity was switched. We take on his identity. So faith is more than just believing. Faith is knowing. And I spoke about this a few months back too, about knowing, going from believing to knowing. Faith is not walking up to someone and walking up to someone and putting $100 in a basket and in their hand because they say, you know what, you need to have faith. If you pay me $100 tomorrow, you're going to have a brand new car. Or a brand new house. That's not the faith I'm talking about. I'm talking about faith that God has placed in you. Not something that someone has told you. It's the faith you've gained from your personal experience. It's the faith of you knowing what God can do to you, for you, because you've been through it. You've seen it. You've seen it. I know what God can do. I've been thrown into a swimming pool at 7 years old, didn't know how to swim, sank under, and all I could see was water. I could see the sun up above, and I could see the water, and I remember struggling, trying to get out because I didn't know what to do. And at 7 years old, all I could say was Jesus. And at the moment I said Jesus, it was like someone grabbed the back of me and pulled me up out of the water. I've been through being in an abusive relationship where I was threatened to be killed, and it got to the point to where I was going to kill my husband to be able to escape and to get out of it. And God said, no, I've got you and I've got this. Walk away. I've seen what God can do. I've seen God pull people out of situations where there was just no way for them to come out of. I've seen people with dire situations where it's been grim. I've seen people where doctors have just given them a death sentence and said, you know what, there's nothing else we can do for you. We're done. Your time's over. And the Lord steps in and says, not in my terms. And he reverses everything. This is the faith I'm talking about. The faith that Moses had leading the people out of Israel, coming up against impossible odds and impossible situations, not knowing how he was getting out of it, but hearing the voice of God and obeying and doing what God said and watching the waters part, or watching food being dropped from heaven, not knowing where their food was coming from. That's the faith I'm talking about. The faith of Abraham to leave his country and to go to an unknown place and establish himself somewhere where God has told him to go and plant himself. That's faith. Going in and spying in a land where people were enormous and coming back and saying, you know what? I see giants, but we can take them. That's faith. Jesus Christ going through everything he did, knowing that he had the power to just totally annihilate and wipe anything out at one word. But yet went through everything he did, knowing his responsibility, knowing what he had to accomplish, and follow through with that, even though he knew he had the power to stop it all. In obedience, he had that faith, knowing what was coming. So, of course, God's word says the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my question is, what type of faith do you have today? Do you have faith like that of a mustard seed where you can believe God for the small things, for the little things? But then when the big things happen, you just completely lose your faith. And you begin to feel lost, and you begin to feel like, okay, Lord, there's something I must do. There's something I've got to do because I just don't see any way out of this. Do you have faith to trust God in the big things as well as the small things? Do you have faith to know how to step out when you can't see anything in front of you? Where you don't see a place to walk and you don't know where your next steps to be? Do you have faith in knowing that God's got you? Do you have faith when things are happening in your family and things are falling apart and you've got a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister that's wayward and they're out there and you just don't know how to reach them and you don't know what's going to happen to them? Do you have faith in knowing that God can reach out there and grab them and pull them back and bring them into the fold and say, here I am. Trust me. We have to be the light. We have to be the ones to establish our faith so that others can know and learn from what our faith is. We've got this issue right now in the body of Christ. We've got the body of Christ split right down the middle right now. And it's because people are lacking that faith and they're walking in fear. Joe spoke a little bit about the meeting that we had attended a couple of weeks ago. And I remember sitting there and listening to everybody talking, and I remember a gentleman standing up talking about a headlight being out on his car and that he was coming to the meeting, but his headlight was out, and it was in rural Kansas. And he was afraid to drive in rural Kansas with his headlight out because he thought he would get pulled over. Not because of the headlight, but because of his ethnicity. And the first thing that went through my mind, it wasn't even anything about the ethnicity or anything. The first thing in my mind is, okay, and this man was a pastor, mind you. So my thing is, you're a pastor. Do you not believe? Do you not have faith that the God inside of you can extinguish anything that the enemy could possibly bring up in that situation? Do you not trust that the God inside of you, what God has placed in you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, could have control over that situation? Do you not believe that the God inside of you is more powerful than anything else on the outside could even come up against you with? Where is that faith? Where is that faith? And it's a question that I've been asking myself about the body of Christ. Where has our faith gone? Where has our faith gone? Have we grown too accustomed to looking at the outward things that are going on? Have we come to become too accustomed of depending on other things and believing everything else out here that we've gotten away from God's word and what he's said and what he's instilled in us? And in that case, we've gone from faith this big to faith that big. We've taken on the faith the size of a mustard seed, not the characteristics of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed. So this morning, and I know I'm not preaching as long as Joe does, but I'm just going by what God's given me here this morning. But my thing is, and this is something that the Lord's been working with me on too, is he's constantly bringing back to mind, what have I told you about your faith? It's about trusting God. It's about knowing that he will do what he said he would do 100% of the time, no matter what. Knowing that God is always on time. He's never late. It's always in his timing. It's not always about when I want it. It's about when he knows I'm ready for it. It's about being able to accept his terms no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what everybody else is whispering in my ear. It's being able to accept his terms. And accepting it means standing on it. Throwing everything else aside, throwing all your preceived conceptions aside, throwing all your ideas aside, throwing your feelings, your emotions aside. It's blindly accepting his terms and standing and not budging and not moving and being able to wait. And while you're waiting, being obedient and doing what he's telling you to do while you're waiting on him and following through and doing what he's asking you to do in the middle of this. That's faith. That's true faith. And I feel that even right here to now, there's people that are here that have been, that are going through major things right now. And you're feeling like, okay, you know what, Lord? I've had faith all this time, but I don't know how much further I can go with this. I'm tired. I've been waiting for this. I haven't seen anything happen. But once again, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're going through things right now. Some things may be emotional. Some things may be financial. It may be relational. But right now, you're tired because you have tried to do these things on your own. You've tried to fix it. You've tried to fix it. You've tried to do everything you could to bring these things about. You've looked, you've searched, you've put yourself out there, you've opened yourself up. And when you've opened yourself up, you've been hurt. You've been cut. But the Lord is saying right now, I saved you. And when I saved you, I gave you a measure of faith. And I gave you that measure of faith so that it would grow. You need to draw on that measure of faith I have given you. And you need to trust me wholeheartedly. You need to trust me. Do it all, plain and simple. You just need to stand, plant your feet on me. I'm your foundation. Plant your feet on me and stand. just like he says in Ephesians 6, he said it three times, stand. Stand, and when you've done all you can do, stand. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you would just Father, that you would just touch anyone here, Father, who's struggling with their faith right now, Father, because things have not happened as quickly as they want it to happen. Or, Father, they're just not seeing things materialize. It's not happening in the way that they want it to happen. It's not happening in a way that, Father, they're looking to see it happen. Father, I ask that you would just take them back to your word. Take them back to the very beginning, Father, when you spoke the world into existence. With just the voice, with just the word, you spoke things into existence, Father, and that was no small faith. That was a great faith that you used. Father, take them back to the many examples that's listed in Hebrews, the faith hall of fame, Father, of those people who walked in faith, who though they couldn't see their way, didn't know what was going to happen, though they'd lost everything, everything was snatched out from underneath them, Father, but they still had faith in you, knowing that greater and better was coming. So, Father, those who are coming through right now, Father, you've given them the strength already to come through. So, Father, I ask that you would bring back to their remembrance the strength that is within them, the strength that you have provided for them, Father. And, Father, help them to realize that, Father, when that strength seems to be running out, Father, that all they have to do is plug into you. Because you're a never-ending source of strength. Father, I ask that you would just begin to touch their hearts. That the weariness and the tiredness and the frustration and the anger and the hurt and the pain and the oppression and the depression and any other thing that the enemy is trying to bring up on your people, Father, that you would bring back to the mind and speak loudly with a clear voice to them saying, I am bigger than all of that. Father, I speak over each and every life here that is sitting here today. That their faith that's already bigger than a mustard seed would continue to grow. That faith would begin to move and shift territory. That faith would begin to move and change the atmosphere and to change the environment, Father. And that kingdom would be birthed out of that shifting.